Hello, and welcome to Legal Bites. If you're new here, my name is Alita. I'm a lawyer licensed in California and DC, and on this channel, we explain the law one bite at a time. We don't give legal advice, but we do talk about how the law works and try to look into our crystal ball to see how things might turn out. If you're enjoying this on YouTube, we'd love it if you could like the video, subscribe to the channel, share it with friends, all the great YouTube-y stuff. And if you want to listen while out and about, we're now offering our live streams in podcast form where you can leave a rating and review. Links are in the description below, as well as to our clips channel where you can find some of the best clips taken from our live streams. Otherwise, if you want to catch me elsewhere, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you want to support the channel, you can do so on Locals, Patreon, or by becoming a YouTube member, or by buying some really awesome Legal Bites merch. Again, all links are in the description below. And with that said, let's get into it. All right. Welcome. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back, Stevie J. Welcome, Les from SEC. I'm so happy to have you guys here. How are you doing?
So good. Thanks for having me back. Thank you. Very excited.
Of course. And Les, welcome for the first time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Of course. Thank you. Yeah. And welcome to everybody in the chat. I see that the chat has been super active since before, you know, waiting for the live stream. So I always love seeing that. People are super excited. So we have a fun live stream today. We're going to be talking about some exhibits, some witnesses, and some objections. I guess before we get into it, so we are less than a week from the Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard trial, and we are all super excited about it. I know all three of us are going to be live streaming this, right? You guys are part of a group that's going to be rotating, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So Come Geek Some, Dan from Come Geek Some, Dr. Soup, and the two of us, we're going to be like taking it in turns, basically. So each day will be covered, but yeah, going to be streaming it as well. Which would be
that's
fun.
Awesome. That's awesome. 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 So people have plenty of opportunities to watch it. So people don't have to watch the commentary by Court TV. I know everybody on Twitter is very concerned about that. And of course you can also watch it here. I understand that you guys are doing your own thing. If for whatever reason you end up, you know, having some free time outside of that, I doubt it, but you guys are more than welcome on the channel anytime.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And I'm also going to be inviting some other people from LawTube. So other YouTube lawyers that have been streaming other trials and other hearings and that kind of stuff. So people that I've been on YouTube with quite a bit, so to give legal commentary and stuff like that. So it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. I am so excited for this trial. I know that there are some that have been a little bit frustrated with how slow I have been to come to a very concrete conclusion. At this point, I can tell you guys that I have yet seen nothing that would pull me in the direction of Amber Heard. We were kind of talking about this a little bit earlier. Literally the one thing that I can even think of that is like a maybe is the audio. And I we were talking about this before, that the audio of Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, where they were kind of talking about the pots, she was throwing the pots and pans and the vase. And he mentioned, like, you know, when we get into these heated arguments, we fight, and we can't fight. We can't get physical, but you know, he talked about how we fight. That's the one thing that I think of that is, it sounds like an admission, but it might not be interpreted that way, because, you know, this could also be somebody who is in a relationship being charitable to the other person, saying, you know, like it's not you, it's we, you know, like we is the problem, basically, you know? So that, and that is going to be up to an interpretation by the jury. For my part, I don't see that as terribly damaging in my opinion, if I were a juror on the jury. But I'm one person, and I'm, you know, that's me in my opinion. But I mean, at this point, I don't know if there's going to be anything, unless there's something at trial that I haven't seen. I'm on Johnny Depp's side here. I'm totally on Johnny Depp's side here.
Oh, I like it. You heard it here, people. You heard it here. Well, I think, you know, so many people, it's interesting that you've gone down that journey and that track, because I think so many other people have as well. And I put myself in that category, because I didn't start out thinking, well, Johnny Depp's clearly innocent here. Like, I didn't start thinking that from the beginning. I just kept following the bouncing ball. Like, here's some more and here's some more and here's some more. And I never found anything, much like what you just said. I never found anything that was in Amber's favor. It was all just in his, or there was always some issue with something that she said was evidence. And like, one of the big things is she's always said there was overwhelming evidence, but I'll give it to you later. Like, you can't have it right now. Yeah. You'll get it. You'll get it at some point. And it's like, well, come on, it's been, you know, 6 years down the track now. You got to start giving something.
If that were a YouTube video, that would be clickbait, and people would be hate commenting on it. Sorry, Les, I totally interrupted you.
No. Let's not forget, it was the worst case of DV the prosecutor had ever seen.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that prosecutor is calling her up saying, "Why'd you throw me under the bus like that? Like, what are you doing? Like, that just makes me look like an innie." Like, worst case the prosecutor has ever seen. And it was just a scare tactic. Obviously, it was just a scare tactic. But people hear that and they think she's got something. She countersues for $100 million. And I thought she had something in that moment when she countersued. I'm like, oh, man, what's she got?
Yeah.
Like, for that split second, I was like, oh, it's just a tactic. It's just another Amber tactic.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely think so. And it's also kind of funny that it is an actual, it's an exact multiple of what he's asking for, you know, like, no, you can't sue me. I'm going to sue you for twice as much, you know, like, So anyhow, but yeah, that's where I'm at. If I find, and that's, you know, that's what I've been hearing from pretty much everybody in this community that I've talked to, either on Twitter or on YouTube or elsewhere. It sounds like everyone has been like, hey, look, I'm just looking at these documents. I'm looking at the photos and the videos, and like, I haven't seen anything that would convince me otherwise. I've been looking for it, you know, and if there is something, like, okay, sure. But, you know, so it's that seems to be a pretty common trait in the community, not like the gatekeepers on the other side from what it looks like on Twitter right now, which is very, very interesting.
Yes. There's a whole lot of, I don't want to say a whole lot, cause it probably isn't really that many, to be honest, but, and I've largely ignored them to this point, but there are a few, constant Amber supporters out there who, you know, tend to just kind of constantly say, we love Amber and she's telling the truth. And that's basically all they say. Like, they don't offer, I haven't seen any anyway, evidence of anything ever. Because if I did, like, I'm despite, you know, what some people might say, I'm actually a reasonable guy. And if I see some evidence that is in Amber's favor and not in Johnny's favor, I'd be happy to acknowledge that and happy to say, yeah, look at that. She's actually got something. But to date, she hasn't shown anything. And I mean, it just goes to show, like, we've been saying for years now how her photos are fake and her evidence that she did present is fake. And, oh, look at what she did. She provided photos with metadata from the 1970s on it before metadata was created. she created something wholly brand new all by herself.
I wish I were a little bit more technologically, you know, well versed, so that I could really figure out how something like that even happens. But that's such a strange, like, is that intentional, or could that be some sort of a major screw up?
Well, I'll just say one more thing on this, and then I'll let you guys give your thoughts on it, because I did some little, you know, a little bit of digging the other day and found out that the digital forensic company that's basically on Amber Heard's side, her experts are the same experts that were used in the UK trial. So they were engaged by The Sun, and let's just call it who it is, Rupert Murdoch, right? And so those same digital experts are the ones who provided the corrupted information to the expert Brian Newmaster in this case. So my question is this: are they actually experts and they did it on purpose? Or are they not experts and they actually completely incompetent at what they do? Even though their website tells everybody that they're professionals and they've got years of experience and all that kind of thing, because what they presented was clearly trash.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's either they're making they're making the same mistake multiple times when they know that they are under a microscope, when they know that people are going to be digging into this stuff and looking at it. You know, this is not some random humdrum case that's, you know, that there are a dime a dozen in any mm-hmm. courthouse, you know. This is one that has a lot of attention on it. So I would think that any company whose reputation is going to be on the line through this is going to want to do their best, I would think. I wonder if there's some part of the process that was frustrated by Amber Heard herself in turning over yes. her phone, or perhaps, yeah. you know, her handlers or, like, you know, other people around her that, that maybe deal with her technology or something. I don't know. So either this company is just like working with both hands tied behind their back, or maybe they're incompetent. I don't know. But it seems like if I were them, I would be wanting to resist that possibility, you know, at all costs.
Yeah. Well, Brian Neumeister, the gentleman that was supposed to take a look at all the metadata and to see if they were authentic images, he said that they were using unlicensed and out-of-date software.
Right.
So unlicensed and out-of-date means that you don't want to spend money on your software. Or did you know that it would screw up for her? And, like, come yeah. on. Like, it's just one of those things where you're absolutely right. Like, everyone's watching you. Every single person. That's what we've been waiting for. We've been waiting on a few things, the Toronto tapes, and to see and the right. authenticity of the images. And
yeah.
if that was my job to hand over the authenticity of something that is so crucial to such an historic case, to be honest, I would want to make sure that I did everything. And if I couldn't do it, I would speak up and say, we need to bring in someone else because I can't do this right. one piece. Can we bring in someone else that, yeah. that can, and yeah. we'll move forward from there. I would Ooh. Like, it's such a horrible look, but I guess if you've got Murdoch behind you, you know, you can afford to have your company flop. He'll pay for true. It. It's fine.
That is
it's
true. Fine. And that's,
But you then know, you can also afford to pay for the license, the license software, I would think.
Well, that's where I think so much of this is intentional, because, like, you know, I might be biased, and I'll honestly say at this point, I probably am biased because of all the evidence that we've sifted yeah. through and everything like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, I guess from your standpoint, looking at this kind of from the outside in a way, or at least from a legal, objective legal standpoint, Wouldn't it stand to reason that if you were truly a victim of something like this, as Amber Heard alleges, if you were truly a victim of this, wouldn't you want the most clear, uncorrupted pictures to be out there so that your story, your, you know, as she calls it, her truth, not the yeah. truth, her truth is shared? Wouldn't you want yeah. that? Like, as objectively, you would just say, here it all is. Here's everything I've got. Just take it. You know, it's all there.
Yeah. But, no, I... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but she hasn't. She's blocked everything along the way.
That's true. And this is something that you know, as someone who has litigated not necessarily defamation cases, but other civil litigation cases, when I get a discovery request and in responding to that request, I give them information that is winning information for my case, I am more than happy to give it to the other side. I want to package it in a box, put a bow on it, nice little like a little thank you card on top, like here you go.
Some chocolate.
This is yeah, exactly. Like, this is why we're going to win. Yeah. Have at it. You know, like maybe yeah. we should go to mediation, do you think? mm-hmm. But I just, that's been my experience personally. So this whole, like, hiding the ball and hiding the ball this much is just, it's very suspicious. Now the jury is most likely not going to see, you know, any kind of comments on this back and forth. You know, like, most of this stays behind the scenes mm-hmm. for the jury, unless that motion for sanctions, unless the court does agree to allow the Johnny Depp's team to comment on the photos. If you know, if the judge says, okay, photos can be admitted, but you can say whatever you want about this and say that that nothing is authentic and nothing is, you know, like that they had an opportunity to provide you, you know, the ability to authenticate. But
So you, in a legal sense, because that's a really good point. I don't think I'd thought of. So from a legal standpoint, what the jury can actually see or what gets introduced to the jury during the trial, if let's just say, for example, Johnny Depp's team are really confident they can impeach the or they can destroy the credibility of the photos. Let's just say they can do that. But do they then need to be the ones to put that on their exhibit list for it to be entered? Like say Amber Heard goes, I don't really want these photos there because they're not all that good and, you know, I messed with the metadata. Would he have to put them on his list?
No, because she's already offered them on her list, so they're already there, and so I don't think so. I think the exhibit lists are the exhibit lists currently, so yeah.
and what a great lead into, you know, her objecting to her own. Her own op-ed, the very reason we're here. Yes. And she's objecting to her own article. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. Let's pull that up now. So let's pull up that document first. Give me just 1 second so that I can get the right page done. Okay. Okay. So do we want to look at the witness list first or the exhibit list? I think because we're talking about her her fantastic.
That's just too fun.
Oh yes.
Just too fun.
All right, let's go here. Okay. So this should be loading.
I see Danny in the chat there saying, wait, she's objecting to her own article. LOL. Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Okay. And it's loading.
She's like, this is ridiculous. What I said in there wasn't true. Hang on a minute. Does that help me? Does that help me or not? I can't figure this out.
Okay. So here. Oh, no. We're already getting bots. Okay. Give me 1 second here. Now that I've pulled this up, I'm going to put this on subs only. In the chat. I'm sorry, guys. I know that some people feel like that's like forcing them to subscribe to the channel. So I try not to do that unless I have to. But when we start getting these kind of spam bots, I kind of have to, because otherwise they'll start ruining the experience for everybody. Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Here we go. Okay. Subscriber only mode. All right. Cool. So here we go. So we've got her defendant and counterclaim plaintiffs. Objections to plaintiff and counterclaim defendant's exhibits. Here we go. So she's basically this a system for identifying, which, you know, makes it kind of clean as you're going through. But number one, the first exhibit that she's objecting to is the op-ed online version. And then after that, the op-ed paper version, and then the Heard post of op-ed. Okay. So, number one is the first, you know, in the key here is MIL. That means that it's the subject of a motion in limine. So we haven't been able to see the motions in limine that have been filed in this case. But we, you know, we can basically figure. So if for anybody that doesn't know what a motion in limine is, I'm sure a lot of the people in the Justice for Johnny Depp community know by now, because we've been talking about it quite a bit. But for anybody else, a motion in limine is basically where the two sides going into trial, they have their evidence that they want in and that they want to be kept out. And a motion in limine can be used to basically argue why something should be kept out, or why the judge should decide ahead of time that something should be brought in or allowed in. Yeah. So this is one of those, which is just, I understand why they would have a motion in limine on this one, because it's such an important part of the trial, but of course it's going to be admitted. I mean, this is like the centerpiece, right? Like this is what we're here for.
But this is her op-ed. Like this is her thing.
Yes.
And you brought this up, I think, beforehand, and we've talked about, Les and I have talked about this before, but she's got an F there. Now, in the F, if people can't quite see it, it says F equals no foundation or authenticity.
Yeah.
So the authenticity of her own op-ed is being brought into question by her.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, my favorite one is hearsay. That's my favorite one. It's hearsay. All hearsay.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, my favorite is D. Document does not accurately and completely depict facts and events, or is not authentic business document. I mean, that's pretty funny. But I will say that that probably the basis of the objections here. Well, number one, so when they are objecting, sometimes, or a lot of times, when they are going to object to a piece of evidence, it's not necessarily that they are going to that they think that they're going to win on it. It's just to preserve the objection. So in order to be able to object, for example, later on when it is admitted, they want to be able to object then. And then later on, if for some reason this becomes a subject of, you know, some grave error in the trial, and the case gets thrown because of it, you know, they want to be able to appeal on the basis of that objection. So every step of the way there, if you want to preserve something for later for a potential appeal, you have to preserve it by objecting in a timely fashion. So, so a lot of these are probably going to be just basically like, actually at the end of the day, routine, and they don't necessarily, you know, mean that they truly believe, you know, like I don't think Amber Heard truly believes that what she's saying is hearsay or not authentic, you know, but it could be that the online version of the op-ed, maybe there's something in particular that they don't want it to be used in a particular way that would cut off, you know, certain portions of it or you know, something like that, like unfairly using something. But it is hilarious, yeah, though, to think about these these objections on this document.
It's crazy. It's just insane to me. Like, and I understand what you're saying. You know, it may just be a formality sort of thing at this point, but just to see that there is quite insane. And I mean, you know, I heard like Court TV and have been less than genuine with their reporting on this so far. But I heard the mention on there as well that, you know, Amber Heard has got all this evidence and she's got all of this stuff and all of these, you know, things to rely on. But really, I mean, she doesn't. And she's objecting to her own op-ed here. She hasn't presented really anything, to be honest, that's really congruent to her defense or to her counterclaim towards Johnny Depp either. I mean, what's she got? She's got a few comments that Adam Waldman made in the Daily Mail, and that's not even Johnny Depp, and she didn't lose any work. So I don't know. Yeah. I just find it so disingenuous, this whole thing, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. And I think, I mean, the irony of her counterclaims is that there's a lot more evidence that is going to be able to come into this trial because of her counterclaims that would not have been, that would have been completely off, you know, mm-hmm, off base or, you know, like that wouldn't have been allowed, I guess I should say. Yeah. You know, and what I'm talking specifically is about this rule on character evidence. Because normally the parties are not allowed to either introduce for themselves character evidence or, you know, or the other side can't introduce character evidence about, you know, the opposite side, except for some specific, you know, instances. But since both of them have put at issue their reputation both beforehand and after, you know, the defamatory statements, the alleged defamatory statements, you kind of have to be able to talk about somebody's character before, as well as, you know, currently. So they have both centrally placed their character at issue in this case because of the types of claims that are involved here. And so if this had just been Johnny Depp against Amber Heard, there's been a lot coming out about her prior arrests for domestic, mm-hmm, violence, and things like that that are very, very, very interesting. And we'll see if they are successful in getting that in. But there's a lot more room for it, I will say, than there would have been otherwise.
Mm. And it seems to me like, just from my point of view, it seems to me like it's a, she just did it because she's being a child, honestly. Like she went, oh, he's suing me for $50 million. I'm going to sue him for $100 million just because like, and there's no foundation to it. Like I know I'm, you know, I guess making assumptions here, but I mean, geez, from what we've seen, there's, how could she really say that Johnny cost her movie roles and things like that? I mean, it's been the complete opposite. And we've seen that with Me Too and Time's Up and all of that. So,
I just had a thought. Sorry, Stevie. It flashed in my head. I'm surprised you didn't hear it from there. Okay, so I'm surprised. It was a big one. So how could possibly Johnny Depp cost Amber Heard $100 million by calling her a hoaxer and a gold digger? She lost out on Muskie.
Ooh.
I bagged the biggest money bag I could ever bag. And he, I'm assuming, and I'm just assuming here, because there are rumors that Muskie broke up with AmbiPants because of her behavior and things that he heard he didn't like. And she's like, well, that was my $100 million. Like, that's what I was going to get out of him. And you screwed it up because he left me. It's, you know what? And you gotta think a lot. You gotta think logically about this.
I mean, Amber logic. Yeah.
Yeah. That could be her subjective, like, reasoning for how she came up with that number. I think, yeah. Like, typically in these kinds of cases, you really have to, you know, that the number has to have some sort of a connection to their work and you know, that kind of stuff. So
she's never, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Come on.
No.
Yeah.
Well, no. And I mean, the other thing that I've heard, the other thing that I've heard mentioned as well is, and I can't remember, I do think it was on one of those silly Court TV videos now, but they talked about how, oh, you know, it wasn't, the op-ed wasn't about Johnny Depp. Oh, of course it wasn't. But her lawyers have come out and admitted that it was. And Eric George, when he was deposed, so Amber's previous lawyer, was deposed for hours about how they were trying to write the op-ed and avoid talking about mentioning Johnny Depp, avoid this exact situation. So it's like, so hang on, you were trying to avoid that for, you know, going through all of these back and forths and through lawyers and everything, trying to avoid it. So it was about Johnny Depp. Well, yeah, it was, but we just don't want to say anything that's damaging to our case. Please, just let us do this. Just let us do this.
You're ruining it for us. You're ruining it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, it does. It does. It does very much sound like that. And I think that that'll be good for the jury to hear that too. To hear about the revisions. To hear about, you know, what went into all of that, because I think that at the end of the day, what they're going to need to decide is whether or not a reasonable person would, you know, would think that that's what this was about. But I mean, as soon as you put it in context with their divorce in 2016 and, you know, and the publicity around that, and that, you know, that was really, I guess she had been with Musk in between then, you know, but that was the last contentious, you know, relationship that she was in.
Very public TRO. Very, very public TRO.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So it just, it's a silly argument to try to say that that was not about him and no one would think that that was about him, because everybody knows that that was about him.
Yeah. Right. And I would imagine, so just from a legal standpoint, because I don't know, like, you know, we've talked about how much there is to just cover in this case and to think about, and there's just so many things, but a while back, almost a year ago now, Ben Chu did depose Eric George, her previous lawyer that was to do with the op-ed and NDA and all of that kind of stuff from 2016. But of course, there's a very good reason why Ben Chu would be doing these things. So doing that deposition with Eric George, and my question is, would that be something that Ben Chu was doing specifically to get something out of Eric George about that process they went through to write the op-ed and get it approved and go through lawyers and everything that would be relevant to Virginia and this defamation case, to say, like to join all of those dots for the jury and say, well, they can say it wasn't about Johnny Depp as much as they like as one of their defenses, but sorry, we've got it right here that they said it was. And they were very specifically trying to avoid mentioning him.
Yeah, no, I definitely think so. I think that the fact that was part of the whole writing process, I think that will be relevant to the jury in placing it in context. Mm-hmm. I mean, and especially because depending on what some of those redlining comments are too. You know, it would be interesting to see too if some of the comments on the side of the Word doc say like, oh no, people are going to recognize this, you know, that this is, you know, this is Johnny Depp or you know, something like that. I think it would be. I think it's something that probably would be admitted at trial.
Okay, yeah, because I imagine like Ben Chu would, you know, we'd be doing that for a reason, but it's very, very interesting.
And I will say that the ability to ask questions in a deposition is much wider than it is at trial, because in depositions, so just because something was asked at deposition doesn't necessarily mean that it'll be admissible at trial. And that's because depositions are part of the discovery process, and the discovery process is all about getting not just the information that you think will be admissible, but information that will lead to something that's admissible. So it's a very, very wide umbrella, because the idea is that courts want the litigation process to be as robust as possible. Both sides get all of the information that is like the whole universe of information that they could possibly need in order to prove their case fairly. And so that's why it's a very, very broad. It's tough to prevent the other side from getting information from you in a lot of situations, because it's like you have to have some very specific reasons, you know, unless they're literally asking for something that's like not at all relevant to anything related to the case. It's like just trying to abuse your privacy or whatever. So there could very well be a lot of questions that were asked in these depositions that can't necessarily be asked at trial. But maybe some portions of them, or a pared down sort of tightened version of a certain question.
So, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So should we look a little bit further at the?
Yeah, well, I'm ready.
She's a class act. I gotta say, when I was reading through this, I'm like, girl, come on. Like you hopped over the line of ridiculous now, and I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, the email regarding her donation announcement.
Now, Stevie and I did a live stream. Oh my goodness, probably about a year ago now, on the donations and where the money went, and we just essentially followed the money. Yeah. And she donated bupkis, like absolute bupkis. But in the eyes of the ACLU, she's donated like 500K or something. In the eyes of CHLA, nothing, because the CHLA isn't counting Johnny's. I give them so much credit. They're not counting Johnny's donation against towards hers.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I love that about them. But yeah, the ACLU, and the ACLU is shady. Like there's something going on. Allegedly, in my own humble opinion, please don't sue me. I think they're very shady. I think there's something going on. Mm-hmm. And I think they interjected themselves to see how deep this was going to hurt them, and now they're regretting it.
Yeah, no, they are definitely very politically motivated, and we are talking about, you know, a particular movement that they are very interested in pushing forward. I know that there was a lot of talk about them wanting to push certain legislation. That was the Violence Against Women Act. The renewal of that, I should say. And so they, you know, without getting partisan into the politics of it, because I'm not interested in that, but they are very politically motivated. And when you have an organization that is very politically motivated, oftentimes you'll find some dirt on that organization, because it has a particular agenda. And sometimes sometimes, you know, it's that agenda at all costs. And this seems to be a situation where that is kind of starting to smell that way.
Yeah, it definitely sticks, that's for sure. Because yes. Mr. Romero, and I'm not talking about the good one, as in Alejandro, who is a witness on Johnny's side. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Anthony Romero, who's the ACLU, you know, director or dude in charge, let's just say. His communications with Amber, very suspect. You know,
yes.
Like, oh, great hanging out with E on the weekend. So good to see you. Can I include, you know, that 100K as yours? Should I note it down as, you know, your donation? Come on. I'll just put it down as yours. Yeah, yeah. Of course.
Muskie's here, and a check just happened to drop onto my desk. Is it for you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did you send that bird in to drop off that check? Right.
Well, interestingly that you talk about, you know, and I don't want to get into politics either, but with the ACLU, you know, they are a charity. And from what I've read in, you know, some of the research into that stream we did, and other things with charities aren't allowed, they're legally not allowed to support any political agenda or political candidates at all. So, you know, what they wrote, I think they saw themselves maybe getting into some trouble, because in the documents that they put to Amber Heard when they were recruiting her for this op-ed was, okay, this is the things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Donald Trump bad. We're going to talk about this and that and the other thing, a bunch of political stuff. Wow. It's like, hang on a second. You're a charity. You're not really meant to be doing that. You're not meant to be advocating for one thing or another thing or one side or another. So, curious.
And that's where things start to get a little bit murky, right? So the funds from supposedly from Amber Heard to the Children's Hospital of LA, nil, mm-hmm. nothing, right? Only from Johnny Depp. And then the funds to the ACLU, there's questions on that, right? Like we haven't seen it confirmed that it was from her or from Elon Musk, but it looks like there's like some shadiness to that, right?
Well, what we found was that, it was just very convenient when you look at the emails and you look when the money shows up and then when they were together, because they got back together and then there was like a $500,000 donation. And then the next month they broke up and then the money stopped. Like when you line up when Musk was, you know, present in her life, that's when the money was flowing. And when he wasn't, it wasn't flowing. So it's just very suspect. And I would put two alpacas on the line. I will put two alpacas on the line that it is Musk who donated all that money. Because it's not going to him. It's not going to him.
I see you two alpacas. And I'll ride in on a third one because I support that idea. On my noble steed. Because I agree with that. And you've got to factor in too, because it's sort of like building a whole picture here. And Muskie has been a long time. The biggest contributor and supporter of the ACLU and donator to the ACLU. So like that all factors in as well. Like where he's at now, don't know, but at the time, definitely. So, you know, all kind of just feeds into one thing and another. And she's again objecting to all of, you know, her own things that should be supporting her claims and saying, I'm such a good person. I donated $7 million to charity. Like that should be all supporting her, yet she's objecting to it.
Yeah, I did see that.
Donated is past tense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. I remember seeing the video that where she was on. It was like a Dutch talk
Danish
talk
TV,
show. But Danish.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you. Where she and I remember I was looking for any kind of like waffling or you know, basically where she was like, you know, not, I'm trying to, I'm, I have a loss for words right now, but basically where she was like in any way suggesting anything where she could kind of get weaseled out, you know, anything in her language. And no, she says, I donated all of it. I donated $7 million.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what she said. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's very clear. It's very clear. Yeah. And then she wanted to say, sorry, you go.
No, go ahead.
No, well, all I was just going to say was like, and then she wanted to say, later on, oh, well, I pledged it. I'll do it in 10 years' time on a fake letterhead. I'll do it in 10 years' time. That's what I said. I never said I donated it. Come on, people. And then she then she also said that it was Johnny's fault. She's like, well, I couldn't afford to pay the charities because Johnny sued me. It's like, 1 minute, that didn't happen until like a year later or more than a year later that he sued you. So tell us again where the money went and why you couldn't give it to those poor sick kids.
Yeah, that's the part. And I've said this before, but it's the thing that gets me every single time is it's like, it's not even like a charity that people will have opinions on, you know, like there are some that are divisive. ACLU is one that people will have opinions about depending on, you know, what side of the political spectrum you're on, you know, like if it was like that or like Planned Parenthood or something, like I can see, you know, but like we're talking about Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, like children that are going for like chemo treatment and like that kind of thing. Like you're lying about giving money to sick children. That's crazy. Yep, and it's terrible. It's a terrible, terrible thing to do.
Yeah. And, you know, when she brought out that 10-year stupid pledge thing, she only brought it for the ACLU. She didn't have them for the CHLA. Like, that's the thing. Like, she thought that was going to get her out of all the hot water. It's like, well, no, you had two charities. And, Stevie, didn't we look into Fidelity and things like that? Because that's where the money was coming from to the ACLU, Fidelity. And you have to be the Musks of the world to have one of those accounts. Like you had to have a certain flourishing size of bank account in order to have one. And that's where the money was coming from. Mm. It was from one of those high end investment places.
Two, I think, Fidelity Vanguard.
Vanguard. I was going to say
Vanguard was the other one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing was, well, the interesting thing is that, you know, rich people use Fidelity and Vanguard is because they can give the money to them. And what's meant to happen is they donate the money to them and then Fidelity or Vanguard give the money to whoever they see fit, the charity that they see fit. And the rich people get a write off, you know, a tax break, which makes sense. Like that makes sense. But somebody in Muskie's position can say, I'm going to give you $250 million. And because I'm giving you so much money, I want you to give it to these places. This is where I want it to go, where most people don't get to do that. So, you know, it makes sense that he would say, hey, you know, because they're talking about, you know, Anthony Romero's calling him E. Great to see E on the weekend. So they're all buddy buddy. Yeah. And he's like, all right, E, just put in 500 bucks here or 500,000, 500 million, whatever it is. He can basically dictate it from there. So,
yeah. No, and that lines up perfectly. It lines up perfectly with what happened here. And I was just looking through the objected witness list, and I don't see any objections to Elon Musk testifying as a witness, at least not from Amber Heard. So it's unclear still at this point if he's, I know you guys mentioned this before, but you know, it is still unclear as to whether or not he's testifying for her or for him, right? and at this point, but that's, those kind of questions are going to come up and properly so, you know, there's questions about this stuff. You know, I know that people are also speculating about his involvement with her test tube baby, but her, you know, her child,
her born baby, her rent a child. I don't think it's her child. I don't think it's hers. Yes.
Well, I mean, it's you know, it was a surrogate, so you know, we didn't have the usual evidence of pregnancy that usually comes with this. But
the thing is, I just can't believe I can't believe it. I feel it is rare in the history that Amber Heard would try and hide anything that's going on in her life. She needs to be front and center. She needs to be on the front page of everything. So for her to have a child on the way, something tells me she would want that. So all of a sudden this magical child shows up. I don't know. It's Amber. Well, look, I don't listen to anything.
Lots of magical things happen with Amber, like, you know, with evidence and with all kinds of things are magical with her. And I think, of course, it's speculation to say that we don't think it's hers, but I mean,
That's just my opinion.
At this point, right. And at this point, she's not given us any reason to trust her, really, in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the whole, like, you know, attention, that's one thing. But she's not really a maternal kind of person. Now, I know people can change and all of those sort of things, but
yeah,
what we've seen on display from her is not someone who's, you know, can really genuinely care about anybody else except herself. So
yeah,
I don't know. I just find it very suspect that she had a baby just appeared out of nowhere all of a sudden.
Honestly, she could have birthed it, and I still would have questioned her. Like, we could have seen her getting bigger and bigger as the months go on, and I still would have been questioning it.
Mm-hmm. It is true. I mean, there's talk of sympathy babies with regard to trials, and that's a thing that has come up recently because Elizabeth Holmes, who was tried, also had a baby during the process of, and that was one of the reasons why they had a delay in her mm-hmm. her criminal case, was that she had a baby, and it's very, very, very interesting.
I have no idea. Oh
yes, yes.
Oh, that poor child.
Agreed. And I mean, she did get married in the process too. Like, so she married some wealthy Silicon Valley guy, who's very well connected, which is just, that is just so interesting to me. But so that, and then having a baby in that whole process, definitely smelled like sympathy baby, because, you know, yeah, who wants to throw a new mom into prison, right?
Right.
Right. You want to be that juror.
Yeah.
I think, actually, at this moment, yes.
but from memory, around the time that the baby announcement happened or whatever, like, it wasn't too far from the charity information coming out, and you know all of these, more of these things being exposed about her coming out, and you know, she's like, oh, baby, look at the baby. So I'm just so critical. I'm just so critical of everything that she does, and she hasn't given, like I said, any reason for me to trust her whatsoever. Like, even the little things, the tiny things, where she's like, hey, look at me, Instagram post, I'm in Madrid, and she's in somewhere completely different. Like, in the photo, it can be proven that she's somewhere else. And she's like, look at me in Madrid. I was like, why? Why are you doing this? Like, at this point, haven't you had enough issues with photos? I mean, come on, please. You've had enough issues. Oh, so silly.
She's just trying to show that she's just generally confused about photos. It's not that she's trying to abuse the process. She's just confused, okay?
I love
she doesn't
that.
Know how it works.
I don't know how these camera things work. I don't know how travel works.
How does time work?
Yeah, exactly. How does one know where one is at any one, you know, time in history?
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, oh, man. So this has been an interesting process getting all caught up on this case. Mm-hmm. Did you guys want to keep looking through this document, or did you want to look at some of the witnesses, or maybe one of Johnny Depp's objection documents? What do you guys want to do?
Well, I think for me, I think a big difference between the witness list is with Johnny's. Mm-hmm. It's very short and concise, first of all. And mm-hmm. second, the majority of people on there are willing to testify in person for him. Whereas I think Amber's got mostly experts or, you know, maybe one person who's going to testify for her, which I think is Whitney, her sister. So and that, to me, again, that just factor all that in again. And I don't know much about trials. I don't know much about the law, really, but like, that just seems very counterintuitive to me. Like, if you had all these people who were friends with her as well, because we're talking about her friends here too, that wanted to stick up for her, wanted to be on her side, you know, stand with Amber Heard, where are they? Like, why would they just disappear in a puff of smoke like ninjas? They just poof, disappeared. Whereas Johnny has very consistent people on his side of the fence. He's got independent people, you know, talking about LAPD officers, the building staff, like all of these independent people who are willing to testify in person on his behalf. And it's like, well, to me, that says a whole lot.
Yeah, I do agree. And I think that something that is very, very interesting about this trial is the the world in which we live right now, since the pandemic, is just so different in terms of, especially the legal profession, trials, mm-hmm. courts, because right. Courthouses have been notoriously slow in catching up to modern technology. I mean, the idea that they are allowing witnesses to testify at trial through a video link is so incredibly new. I mean, the rules of evidence allow for, obviously you have a witness testifying at trial, but usually for someone to testify through a deposition, it's usually going to be somebody who is unavailable because either they live mm-hmm. a long distance away and they can't be there in person at trial and they've already done a deposition, or because the person has already died. I've actually read deposition testimony into trial because that witness had died. And so there was just zero way to get their testimony in otherwise. But now what's interesting about somebody being even halfway around the world is that now you can also have them testifying through a video link. And a lot of these witnesses are doing that, at least on Johnny Depp's side. So that is right. extra interesting to me because, you know, with her friends and these other people that are just testifying through deposition, it's really interesting to me how they're allowing that, you know, in a case like this, you know, where they are also doing other video link testimony. Because otherwise I would maybe, you know, to be charitable to all of them, to say like, okay, well maybe they have busy lives and they can't fly across the country to Virginia to, you know, be there at trial. And sometimes you have to sort of open your calendar for a few days or a whole week because you don't necessarily know when you're going to be called at trial, you know, so flying all the way across the country, okay. you know, that can be difficult, but, Elon Musk is going to be by video link, right? He's a pretty busy guy.
Yeah, if he can make it, Io and Drew and Pennington, they can all rock up.
And look, especially you talk about people like Io Tillett, you know, he was prepared to write his own articles and do his own big things about, oh, this is why I called 911 and everything. So, you know, for him to be flip-flopping at this point is very telling to me, because someone who's so out there and wanting to be talking about this and supporting her publicly and all of these things, all of a sudden wants to be quiet. It's like, well, maybe somebody got a little wake-up call and realized, I shouldn't be lying like this. I shouldn't be. It doesn't look good for me to be called out in lies as well.
Yeah, or the decision also could have been made by Amber Heard's legal team, that maybe they were like, ooh, you're not going to play very well live.
Her own friends and witnesses.
He comes across as very righteous, and I don't think that's going to bode well for her, because she too is also very she talks down to people a lot. And so you don't need, you know, that gang of fools, you know, parading in front of the jury. And Josh Drew is the best witness on the planet, I understand. But at the same time, he's all hearsay. He actually saw nothing.
Right, exactly.
He actually saw nothing.
That's a great point. And Alita, just for you, I don't know how much you've looked at the UK side of this, but the reason we call Josh Drew the best witness in the world is basically that's what Injustice Nicol said, the judge in the UK. He said that Josh Drew was an amazing witness. He was fantastic, even though he didn't see anything. He didn't see a damn thing. And when he was asked on the stand, he was like, look, I don't really remember anything. And then he got asked a question again, and he's like, oh, yeah, I remember everything. And it's like, wait a minute. You just said you don't remember, and now you remember everything. Anyway, that's why we call him the world's best witness, because that's what the judge of the UK called him, even though he saw nothing and really provided nothing of value. So,
no. So that is. Oh, go
sorry,
ahead.
I have a question for you about that. I do have a question, because if I let Andrea's words sink in, because our conversation with her was so in depth and it was so good. If I didn't actually see anything, so say I'm going to court on behalf of Stevie, right? Mm-hmm. And I actually didn't see anything. How much of a witness am I? I'm just saying, well, this is what he told me. You're it's nothing, right?
Nothing, absolutely nothing. And that's, I wanted to talk about that, because I did get a question from somebody on Twitter asking to sort of explain hearsay in depth, because they were having a hard time sort of wrapping their mind around it. And I completely understand, you're right there with every law student that has to learn hearsay, or the rule against hearsay in evidence. So you kind of have to start with like the definition of hearsay. So hearsay means an out-of-court statement offered to prove the truth of the matter asserted, which is just mumbo jumbo. But basically, so you can take it as an out-of-court statement. So it's not, it hasn't been given under oath. Mm-hmm. And it's offered basically to prove XYZ happened. So we can take a concrete example. You know, Io wants to testify saying, Amber said Johnny hit her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is, if Io is allowed to say that in court as testimony, Amber told me Johnny hit her. You have to kind of freeze frame and do an analysis of whether or not that fits into the definition of hearsay. And the reason is, you have to determine why is that statement being offered? Is that statement being offered to prove that Johnny did in fact hit Amber? Or is it being offered for some other reason? Because sometimes there are other reasons why that statement could be offered. Mm-hmm. You know, there are situations where somebody's mental state is at issue, you know, and it can be that the statement is being used to show, you know, the effect on somebody's mental state, or it's being used to show like, you know, their own mental state or something. But mm-hmm. that kind of a statement in this case would be used for the definition of hearsay, you know, to prove, you know, Io saying Amber told me Johnny hit her would be mm-hmm. most likely used to prove Johnny did in fact hit her. So that is a statement that is hearsay that's not allowed at trial. So if everything, and then there are a whole bunch of exceptions to the rule against hearsay, because hearsay is not just the words that somebody speaks. It's also documents, like any kind of notes, any kind of, you know, like medical records technically are hearsay, but there's an exception to the rule for things like medical records, financial records, business records, basically. And that's just one example. Wow. But general statements, you know, by these friends, you know, if all they can do is testify as to what they know only because of what they were told by someone else, that's all going to be hearsay. That's not going to be admissible. And if that's the only thing that they can say at trial, there's no point in bringing them as a witness.
And that's why there's no, that's why they're not going to be there, because no one saw anything. Josh saw nothing. Io saw nothing.
Right.
Rocky essentially didn't see anything.
Yeah. The only thing that they could do is, you know, Io was speaking on the phone with Amber, you know, that night. Right. So Io could testify to how Amber sounded. You know, did Amber sound panicked? Did Amber sound, you know, flustered, or, you know, like those kinds of things, because Io can testify as to his experience of talking on the phone with Amber, not necessarily for, you know, for a reporting on the accuracy of what actually happened, you know, in those other events, but what Io was picking up from that conversation.
Right.
Well, that makes so much sense to me, because wouldn't it stand to reason then that if Io Tillett-Wright was, okay, definitely present on the phone call, talking to Amber, talking to Johnny, so can testify to his experience of that phone call in that situation.
Yes.
And Amber doesn't want him to speak or to be in court and to be examined, because the truth of what happened, the truth of his experience, not what he said in his statements, not what was, you know, told to the media, but what the actual truth was of his experience. If he offers that up as the actual experience that was had, then maybe that's contradictory to what she's saying, and she doesn't want that to come in.
Yeah. It could very well be also that, and here's the thing about, you know, putting somebody like Io on the stand, is that then on cross-examination, all of these questions of, you didn't see any injuries, you didn't, you know, you didn't hear any hits, you didn't hear any screaming, you didn't, Did you see her the next day? Did you FaceTime with her? Did you try FaceTiming with her? You know, like, did you see anything? Did you see any injuries the next day? Did you hear anything in the, you know, in her voice the next day? Or, you know, like, yeah. Or what about this when you guys were jumping and doing cartwheels? Or I'm making that up, but like, you know yeah. what I mean? It's like things like that are yeah. just poking holes, yes. poking holes. So those kind of people are the testimony that they would be giving is not particularly helpful to her, but they can do a lot of damage because, right. you know, if they're being offered as this person that like witnessed stuff, then
yes.
then Johnny's side gets up and says, but you didn't witness anything. So who, like, this is your best, yeah. this is your best. And you saw nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's great to know. And I think for me, the other one too, is like, especially with that May 21st incident, because that was sort of the one that kicked it all off. There's a lot of focus on that. But the other thing about that incident is, like, they're actually, without those people like Rocky and Josh and Io, there's really not a lot to go on. Like, there's not a lot to actually go on that. And, you know, if they are brought in, and let's just say Johnny's team do get a chance to cross-examine and ask them questions and everything, I mean, does that go to like impeaching her entire story, like to go to basically calling her out on everything that she said? Because there's so much that they stated in their witness statements and declarations and things like that that just does not line up with what's possible in terms of time travel and all kinds of laws of physics and stuff like that.
So, well, there's basically what you're getting at is there's two different parts of Johnny Depp sort of disassembling Amber Heard's narrative here. There's right. there's poking holes in her storyline through cross-examination. That's, you know, like in any case. And then there's impeachment. Impeachment okay. is a pretty specific thing where somebody says something on the stand, but they've said the exact opposite before. And so okay. what Johnny Depp's team is going to do is they're going to have, you know, when they bring up a witness, they're going to have their prior deposition testimony printed up in a binder with tabs and highlighter and all this stuff. They're going to have stuff ready so that they know exactly where to go. You know, if they get the wrong answer, or, you know, the right answer, exactly what they want, so they can impeach this person, and they can go exactly to the transcript and to the page and line number, basically have everything all ready to go. And then say, like, you know, okay, but before you said Y, now you're saying X, you know, and just, and they, you know, there's always an instinct to try to go for the jugular and to try to, you know, beat the witness down when they do that and just be like, oh, like, you're lying. But all you need to do is make it very subtle. You know, they say X happened, and then you go and you show them that, you know, before they said Y happened. That's all you need to do. And especially if you've got the jury paying attention, that's all you need to do, because then the jury sees it. They understand. They're like, oh, this person is not being honest, or they weren't being honest before. Like, at some point they were not being honest.
Sure.
So, and on that note, the one thing that is always missing on these live streams is we can't see the jury. And that is for every good reason in the world, because they are supposed to be anonymous. You know, like they're supposed to be, you know, we're not supposed to know who they are. You know, we can know, you know, demographics and age ranges and like that kind of stuff, but like, we're not supposed to be able to identify them, you know, so we don't want to know who they are, but you know, the benefit of being somebody actually in the courtroom is that you can watch the jury and watch the witnesses and the attorneys and the judge, because the jury is watching, you know, the judge for cues. If the judge gets angry at one side more often than the other, for example, you know, like they'll start picking up on cues like that. But also, if the jury is paying attention, because it's a very long trial, these are very long days. And sometimes when they have a witness and they have them on for too long, they'll just put the jury to sleep. And so sometimes you'll get the best testimony in the world out of a certain witness, and if the jury's asleep, you're screwed, because they didn't see it. They didn't hear it. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So that's my bit on the jury. So, okay. But yeah, but yeah.
Interesting. I think. I mean. Sorry. Sorry. You go. Sorry.
No. Go. It's fine.
Go. No. I need a drink anyway. You go.
I was just gonna say. I know. Legal Bites is starring your questions and your super chats, and she will get to them. So
yes,
please don't think that you're being ignored.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, she will get to them when
and actually when I can
decide.
Yeah, I mean if you guys are okay with that, I can get us caught up on that. Now, are you guys okay with that?
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Okay.
I'm
yeah, all I'm right, sure, cool. I just saw my name pop up more than once. I'm like, ask her this.
Sorry. Thank you. Okay. So Liz Botts, thank you so much for your super chat. Andy the Game Maker, only subs mode starting now. Thank you. And that's my brother, by the way. He's a jokester. Meg Wheeler, welcome to YouTube membership.
Hey,
right.
Nice one, Meg.
Yeah. Andy the Game Maker, but have you heard Herd's hearsay here today? See, he's a jokester.
And now say it five times really fast.
Yeah. Snuggle Struggle says corporate media and collectivists are hysterical with Musk's actions towards Twitter, but they will not slander Musk by pointing at Amber Turd. Weird. That's another thing about this case is that someone pointed out to me recently that Elon Musk has a tendency to get ahead of bad news that he knows is coming by doing something either really big or really salacious. And so this is the kind of thing that in the past he has done that basically does precede something that comes out about him. So it could be related to this case. It could be related to SpaceX or Tesla. I don't know.
Okay.
But that was
interesting.
That was a very interesting insight that I hadn't put together myself. So something to note.
Curiouser.
Yeah, exactly. Johnny's girl. She lied so much that you can't believe her at all. And that's the thing that that has made me increasingly comfortable with saying that I'm on Johnny's side here is that, you know, I haven't seen all of the evidence at this point, but what I have seen has been pretty much I would say her narrative has been pretty much destroyed in every incident that I've looked at. Yes. And so, I've tried to sort of keep one foot in the noob pool because that's what the jury is going to be doing. So I want to try to sort of keep an understanding of what the jury is going to be going through during this trial, because they're going to come completely fresh without, you know, ideally without knowing anything. Right. So they're going to have to take some time to make up their minds in this case too. I always try to keep one foot in the perspective of the jurors of, like, you know, what is going to be most compelling to them. If it's compelling to me as a newbie, it might be to them. But it's not necessarily going to need to be the case that they have to prove every single incident that she alleges is a lie, right? Because, you know, at a certain point, you show enough of these and you start to develop a pattern. And so
talk about a pattern. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so the jury could very well be convinced by a handful of these incidents by saying, like, look, like you're totally lying about this. Like, this is objectively observable that, you know, you didn't break your nose the night before you went on James Corden's show.
God.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Or your ribs, because look, you're tubing a week later. I went through when you said, you know, they're going to be there with their binders and their highlighters and things like that, you know, trying to like catch them out in a lie. Well, that's what I did. I spent and I broke down every incident, and it took me close to 6 months to do that. But I broke down what everybody said, how they contradicted themselves, how they contradicted each other. And none of it makes any sense.
Yeah.
Not one incident makes sense. And if someone could go back to those videos, looking at someone in the chat right now, you can go back to those videos and make that make sense, that she's telling the truth and that they're all telling the truth, I will relook at everything. Everything.
Well, and because funnily enough, those were the first videos of yours that I ever saw. And I was just getting into the case then. And I was like, oh, wow. Wow. I didn't realize there was all these discrepancies. Oh, my gosh. How can none of this lines up? So, and it really just doesn't. And, you know, Alita, what you were saying before about you kind of keeping one foot in, I had this image in my mind when you were saying that of it's almost as if, like, when you're trying to be objective on this, you've got two rivers, and one of them's Johnny Depp's evidence and one of them's Amber's. And it's like you've got that foot in Johnny Depp's. You just dip your toe in and it's like, oh, now it's a foot. And then Amber's side, it's like this is tiny little trickle of water coming down. And on Johnny's side, this massive rapid all of a sudden just grabs your leg and takes you away. It's like, I can't help it. You just can't help it because there's just so much evidence. And she's just got this tiny little trickle on the other side.
Yeah. And that's it. That's it'll be interesting to see how everything gets presented at trial. Because there are so many incidents that are alleged, and there's just such a timeline, right? And the thing is that when it comes to presenting the evidence, you have as an attorney, you have two opportunities to put everything into a streamlined narrative, and that's the opening statement and the closing argument. Other than that, you know, you can try to position the witnesses in such a way so that they tell your story, but really, like, there's only so much that you can do with that because each one has their timeline of events that they were a part of, right? So it's like you really need to, as one of the attorneys in this case, set up a very strong narrative, a very strong framing of the case to place all of the individual, you know, events into, because there's just so much that people are going to have to straighten out in their brains by filling in this timeline. So that's going to be one of the big challenges here. But you're right. I mean, it does seem like you've got this, basically this stream turns into a river and just kind of takes you away because there's nothing else holding your other foot.
That's it. There's nothing else.
So let me finish these other super chats. Celebrate of Jerry Judge. And then I see, this is from Sweet Chastity. And then another one from Sweet Chastity. Please, can they use celebrate of Jerry Judge? So I know that Andrea's talked quite a bit about the celebrate, but remind me which witness Jerry Judge is.
Oh, that's Johnny's security guard. That was his right hand man for a long time, almost like a father figure, really, for Johnny Depp.
That's right. I remember now. I've seen photos of like Johnny Depp sort of like, not like hiding behind him, but you know, things like that. Like he was a very sort of like secure person for him, it seems like, out in public.
Yeah. And Jerry was not having Amber's nonsense.
No.
He wasn't having it.
Okay. Yeah. So I know Andrea Burkhart has talked quite a bit about the celebrate, because she's, I believe, had a lot of experience with it. I haven't had any hands-on experience with it, but I do understand that it's very invasive. And in order to get invasive information from somebody who's not a party, a lot of times you do need some strong cooperation from that person. But I'm wondering if the evidence here for Jerry Judge, if that was, you said that he passed away. When did he pass away?
2019. Mm. He did write a deposition.
Okay.
He has something written down, but it's to a lot of the things that came out since 2016, there was no chance to go back. Like there was no chance to go back to him, or he couldn't obviously testify in the UK trial or anything like that. And there's a lot of things that have come out since that would be great to go back and get a second take from Jerry Judge or ask him some more questions. And definitely, you know, getting messages and, you know, any information from his phone would have been hugely advantageous, I think, because him and Johnny were close. and Johnny would have likely shared things with him that maybe he didn't even share with other people. So
it's
very sad.
So it seems like they weren't able to get anything other than a declaration from Jerry Judge. So which is unfortunate, because that would be somebody who would have very, very intimate knowledge of the relationship and very intimate knowledge of, you know, of Johnny Depp especially. I mean, it's but you've got to do what you can do in these kinds of cases and use the evidence that you've got and move forward. So it does seem like based on the evidence that they do have here and the witnesses that they do have, I mean, we should probably be able to see a really good case coming from Johnny Depp's side.
I can't wait. I can't hide it. I'm so excited to see what has finally happened and Johnny Depp actually get to, you know, the UK was one thing. He really didn't get the best opportunity there. And Judge Penny said that herself. Like, he didn't get a full and fair trial because it was him versus NGN, not him versus Amber. So, we've heard all that before. So I'm just excited to see this happen. I'm excited to see Ben Chu, maybe Kathleen Zellner, take the floor and examine and cross-examine some of these witnesses. I just want him to have his day, you know, in court. And at this point, I would love, of course, to see at the end a nice, verdict in favor of Johnny. So
Yes.
But if not, we're still going to celebrate anyways.
Yes.
Like, no matter what. It has been such a long haul. We're going to celebrate him just getting this far, like to making it and not throwing in the towel and just to keep going forward with what he believes is right. And
I definitely think so. And you know, there also is a win in that this trial will be publicly available, that people will be able to see for themselves what the witnesses are going to be saying, what the evidence is going to be showing here. So, if you've got a panel of jurors that are convinced for one particular side, you know, at the very least, he has a lot of people that are able to see this evidence and look at it themselves. And it's not curated and it's not gate kept by anyone. So that's a very important part and a very important aspect of this case too for him, I think.
Well, and I think, you know, and I did mention a tweet about this the other day, but I've become very passionate about, male victims too of domestic violence. And to me, I see Johnny as a definite victim here of domestic violence, among other things. And it's opened my eyes to so many more male victims out there who exist but don't have the support. So if this trial and this case and this horrible thing that Johnny Depp has gone through can, you know, shed so much more light on the situations of men out there and women, of course, as well. But I only mention men because they don't get support, not as much support anyway. And so if it can shed light on some of that, if it can allow 1, 2, 3, 10, 100 more men to come forward and feel comfortable coming forward and saying what happened to them, then I'm so grateful for that. You know, at the very least, I'm so grateful for that.
Yes, I agree. And I think that, you know, we're starting to see some of the opinion pieces coming out on, like, you know, what this means if Johnny Depp wins this case. You know, this means that victims will be, you know, there will be a chilling effect on victims, you know, speaking out, when it's just like they've completely exposed themselves in that, because it's like, you don't even look at the possibility that he is the victim here. Like,
The question is, what will it do for victims? But they're not asking it in the right context or the right light. What is this going to do for male victims? What is this going to do for all victims? It is good. I think the thing is, the victim, the women victims coming forward, we're already screwed, right? We're already screwed. We've been screwed the entire time. Yeah, we made a few steps forward, but these ladies come along and they take us 10 steps back. But it's the men who can't come forward, the men who walk into the police stations and are laughed at because the cops are like, what, you let that little girl beat you up? Like, what?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. No, like, this has got to, like, we've got to start asking some really serious questions without making it a man-woman thing. It's a human thing.
Yes.
It's a human problem, and we need to start looking at it as such. And that's my stance on it.
No, I completely agree with you on that. I think that, you know, these kinds of any kind of domestic violence, it's just, it's wrong. It's wrong. You know, yeah. whether it's against a man or a woman, and yeah, I mean, people need to be listened to, and then their claims investigated. Yes. You know, it's listen and investigate. Yes. You know, I love that motto so much better than listen and believe, because
yes,
that's exactly how we ended up in a situation like this, you know. Mm-hmm. and I see this case as very similar to Jussie Smollett. You know, I see it as very similar, because you have two people that are basically co-opting a movement for their own personal gain, you know. Mm-hmm. And like, damn anybody else along the way who gets involved, right. You know, like, who cares? But and I think that it's terrible. It's terrible. And the fact that they're both from Hollywood, you know, okay. But you could have people from any walks of life that decide to take advantage of a movement for their own gains. And I think that, you know, I've never been one to ascribe to the idea that, you know, that women should always be believed, because I have known many, yes. many women who have lied about all kinds of things, you know.
Yes. Right.
I love bringing it up every time that I there's a reason why Mean Girls is one of my favorite movies, and it's why it's a cult classic, right? Those girls are not honest.
Right.
And they're not, let's just be honest here, they're not fictitious either. Like, those girls exist in real life. Like, they really truly exist, and they know what they're doing as well. Like, you look at you look at somebody like Amber Heard, and it's like, I'm this shrinking violet. I'm just, you know, poor little old me. And it's like, no, she knew exactly what she was doing when she made those accusations, and
she's no poor little flower.
She is not.
Mm-mm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's you know, if you want to take, you know, of course this is broad brush strokes, but you could an argument could be made that the male version of violence is typically more physical. The female version of violence is usually much more social. It's much more manipulative, and it's much more about taking someone's standing in our society basically down. And to me, in some ways, that is sometimes so much more nefarious, because it can do so much damage. I mean, obviously not to say that physical violence is good, but you know, there are ways that can do far worse damage than the opposite. But I think in this case, there's a lot of evidence showing that Amber Heard is using both kinds of violence.
She'll use it any way she can get it. And I'm just speaking for myself when I say this. So anyone who, like, please do not take this as I'm speaking for everybody. But when I came out of my relationship, I said, dear God, like, give me, like, the emotional side of it and the smear campaign and the everything. I said, I would have much preferred to stay and, you know, had the physical side of it. And take away the emotional, like the emotional and the everything that was attached to it was much, much worse. Like the physical was just like a minuscule thing compared to everything else. Cause that lasted, the emotional and the smear campaign lasts, right? Like it still lingers in my life. Meanwhile, the physical side is gone. It's poof. Like, my body has regenerated itself so many times. It actually doesn't exist anymore for me. Like, it's just, oh. So I'm not like, yeah, they're both horrible, but at like, it's all relative, right? Like, who's like, I've seen some women and what they've been through. I'm like, oh, I don't know how you did it. Mm-hmm. And it's horrific. It's just, women can be vicious with their smear campaign and their, but so can men at the same time, but women
and that's
go
why,
for the jugular. Women go for the jugular, and that jugular is the smear campaign and the emotional abuse.
Well, I like what you both say, because, like, you know, it's a human problem. Les, you said that, and Alita, you said, like, you know, what did you say? Listen and investigate. Like, that's so true. That's so true. Like, great statements, because any movement, people should be wary of any movement, doesn't matter what it relates to, that says believe all. Anytime those words are just there as a blanket statement, I have a huge issue with that. Doesn't matter what it relates to. It could be anything. It could be, you know, how much rice costs in China. I don't know. Like, but don't believe all just because someone says, hey, we're part of this movement now, so just believe everything we say. Perfect.
Yeah.
Like, we're part of this group, so you have to believe us.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. It's a very dangerous road.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it really is. Let's be honest, it's like all men are this, all men are that, all men are horrible human beings. No. Right. No. But here's where a lot of our children are growing up with these thoughts. All men are this, but we have to believe all women when they say this.
Mm-hmm.
What? Are you kidding? No, because as I've said, I've been friends with a couple of these Amber Heards, and actually I was even married to an Amber, but like the male version. Oh. I was married to it. And so every time Johnny gets a little bit of a win, it's a win for every single one of us who have been involved with an Amber.
Yeah.
It is that little bit of justice, because we didn't get any. We had to walk away, you know, actually run away and probably change our name and, you know, move to a different country. But it's a little bit of a win. So yeah. All of these, yeah, as Stevie says it perfectly, every time there's an all in there, think twice.
Yes.
Think twice.
Completely because agree.
No.
No. Nope.
What?
No.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Oh man, but I thank you for sharing that. I didn't realize that you were a survivor of domestic violence as well. And I think that there are so many people in the Justice for Johnny Depp community that are also, and that is very telling. That is very telling.
It is because I'm not a Johnny stan. I'm not like I'm an appreciator of his art and his work and everything he does. I appreciate it, but I'm no fangirl. I don't care. I don't fangirl over anybody, and except for the cute bird that's walking around outside. 3 days back, I made a bird friend, and I've been feeding it, and we called it 3 day for a 3 day, not a hostage situation. And that's the thing. Like, I'm not here, you know, fangirling for Johnny. I'm here to get the truth out and you know, just let everyone know that it happens and people do this. Yeah. And yes, she would go this far.
And I would just say as well, I think
that it's a win for us every little bit.
Yeah, and I would just say as well, I think it's not like I would say, even though I'm biased, and I freely admit that I am definitely biased at this point. But what I would say to other people is, don't listen to me. If you don't want to, don't listen to Les, don't listen to anybody. Go and check all these things out for yourself. It will take a little while, but if you're truly interested in finding out what the truth is and deciding for yourself, go and check it all out. Don't believe my word. Don't believe anybody else. Do it for yourself. And I'm sure that you'll be swept away by that roaring rapid, just like the rest of us have been. And if you want to call the other side, Amber's side, you know, that tiny little stream, it's going to have no pull. It's going to have no sway over you. So.
Yeah. And if you can find something, like I've been waiting for someone, like as Stevie said, been waiting for someone to say, hey, no, like you've been looking at this all wrong. This is like, maybe take a look at it this way. I've been waiting for it. And getting gray waiting. Like, they can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, and you guys have been looking obviously a lot longer than I have, but for me, it's been a few weeks now and definitely digging, you know, like, So trying to have as objective of an eye as I possibly can, because, you know, for the purposes of looking ahead to trial, I really did want to look at this through the eyes of the jury. Based on everything that's out there, and
I like it.
Yeah. So I see really nothing supporting her case.
If you find it, send it to us, please. We want to see it as well. I feel like it'll be an Indiana Jones come National Treasure kind of expedition trying to find it, opening up the Ark of the Covenant.
It'll be a boulder coming down.
You're running away. all these tribes people, but with some kind of crazy amulet. But if you do find it, if you do get your Indiana Jones on, then please send it to us. We'd love to see it as well.
Sounds great. Unbelievable. So anyway, I guess that this is about good. Do you guys have anything, any last words before we wrap this up?
All I will say, just to finish, is thank you so much for having me again and having us. Thank you so much. And I think it's great. The more people who are covering this case now, the more that this can get out there. And again, I would just say I'm so looking forward to seeing Johnny Depp get his day in court. I feel like this is his actual day in court. I can't wait to see him get some justice, which I feel he will. So that's what I will say.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Les, anything else?
Thank you so much for having me, having us. It's just been such a pleasure, and the chat's been great. And I'm excited. And I didn't realize how emotionally invested I would be in this until the UK verdict came in. I was like, why was I so anxious? And then why was I heartbroken on the other side of it? Yeah. I am so invested. I am just so here for just to watch what happens. And we can see firsthand how this all goes down. So in retrospect, what we can do is we can see, okay, this is how she's behaving, and kind of like monitor how other people are behaving. Like, you can get a lot, you can learn a lot about relationships and how people lie and how people create these scenarios so you don't end up being in Johnny's seat. Like, it's a learning tool as well. Like, like, he has cracked open the door for so much. Yes. It's fantastic, and I am absolutely so here for it. And I thank you so much for covering it yourself and with fresh eyes, coming in with fresh eyes, because I'm biased. I will say it. I'm not going back.
I remember that Andrea said before that you know, if you've made a decision, if you've concluded that you're team Depp, you're not biased, you're just informed.
Oh, I like that. Great one, Andrea. Yes, thank you. That sounds way better. I'll take it. Yeah.
So for someone else to come in with such fresh eyes, you know, come in, you know, right down the middle, and that's what we need. We need more people coming in with fresh ones, because mine are cloudy. You know, they're cloudy.
Yeah. I think that this has been, for me, it's been a very, another enlightening experience, because, you know, it's one of those cases where, you know, you see the headlines, and if you don't have enough time to look any further, then that's just the impression that you get. And you're just like, oh, man, I liked him.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go on to your everyday life, you know. Yeah. And then years later, I happen to have a YouTube channel that talks about law, and somebody tags me in a tweet talking about that there's going to be some trial coming up. And I'm like, oh, that's still going on? Wait, this is still a case? Wait, let me look into this. And it's been, it's yet another one of these cases where, hey, what? The media lies about things? What are you talking about? You don't say.
You know? Who would have thought? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been, but it has been a real pleasure digging into this case. And I mean, pleasure sounds terrible, because it's, you know, obviously terrible things have happened. Right. And it's going to be, you know, I'm torn in my excitement about this case, because I know that this is going to be for Johnny Depp, this is going to be a very painful experience, because, you know, my understanding is that he's a very private person. He's never really been a fan of being a celebrity in general. I've seen red carpet interviews where, I think it was for Alice in Wonderland, where they were asking about the makeup and like, oh, that's a lot of makeup. Was that like tough to deal with? And he's like, no, it's great, because it's, you know, I get to put on a mask. I get to have a mask for a while, which is like, that's so telling, because that means that, you know, somebody who, you know, walks around, you know, people think about celebrity and this is so great to be this famous person, but he's like, you know, I'd like to take a break from being Johnny Depp every once in a while, you know, like I'd like to be able to, you know, like just go away from it for a little bit. Yeah. So to have a case where some of the most painful experiences of his life are going to be, you know, dug up for the whole world to examine. I would imagine that this is going to be so much pain all over again for him. And it's not going to be fun, but it's going to be, I think, for everyone that is interested in seeing justice, interested in seeing, you know, the right thing at the end of the day come out of this trial, is going to be very excited. And it's going to be a very exciting trial. There's going to be so many twists and turns that are going to be coming about in this trial. And it's, we are all here for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, well, I know that we've got to wrap it up. I know Stevie's got, you've got a little bit of a time deadline, so I'll wrap it up here. But otherwise, so you guys are going to be on a live stream rotating between different channels. I will be live streaming it as well. I'll have people on my channel, and hopefully people will be popping in and out. So otherwise, where can people find you?
Well, for me, on YouTube, Stevie J. Raw is the channel, and it's the same on Twitter and on Instagram as well. I don't understand Instagram, but you can always, you know, go over there and follow me and reach me if you want. I may not be able to figure out how to respond, but I'm there. So, yeah, go on and check me out in those places if you want to, if you feel like.
Absolutely. How about you, Les?
Well, you can also find me on YouTube, Twitter for the time being. I will be jumping off as soon as the trial's done, but also on Instagram. I know a little bit more than Stevie does, not much more, to be honest, but it is one of my more favorite places to go and just see what people are up to. So yeah, that's it.
Absolutely. And both of their channels are linked in the description below. So where you can see the at sign and their channel name in blue, just click on that. That'll link you right to their channels. So with that, I will see you guys in the next video. So thank you so much for joining us. Bye.
Bye.